The following program is for informational purposes only. Do not make any investment without speaking to a licensed financial advisor.
It's time for Americans to grow up and become financially responsible.
Let's talk about something important.
If you're in it for the money, that's not a bad thing.
Do you realize how much money he just saved us?
This is The Financial Physician with Lou Scatigna.
The Financial Physician. It's the fastest hour in Money Talk Radio.
It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates.
This is financial advice you can take to the bank.
He's your money man.
Show me the money.
Your source for straightforward, no-nonsense financial advice.
Bring me your money questions because I'm here to help.
And now, here he is, the financial physician, America's money doctor, Lou Scatigna.
Hello, 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 and welcome to today's edition of the Financial Physician Podcast, where we talk money, markets, politics, and virtually anything I feel like talking about. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us for today's program. Later on in the program, surprise, 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 another better-than-expected job number for March. Actually, 50% better than the average economist expectation. No surprise there. Nothing but BS coming out of the BLS. If you're listening to this Sunday, tomorrow is the Great American Eclipse. We're going to dive into that. Just so many people are going crazy about this. They're calling up the National Guard, and what do they have up their sleeves? We'll talk about that later. What's going to happen when the left gives the green light to millions of radicals and illegal aliens to riot and cause all kinds of chaos in the country if the election doesn't go their way? And you know they're planning to do that, and we're going to talk about that later on. Are you ready for World War III? Well, it's getting closer by the day. This week, Secretary of State Tony Blinken announced that Ukraine will be joining NATO. And we are getting closer and closer to World War III. That's what they want. Here we go again. The mainstream media now is talking up bird flu as it has jumped to a human, I think in Texas. And now they're trying to get everybody fearful just in time for the election, right? They say it's 100 times worse than COVID. So we'll dive into that. Esteemed virologist says there's a tsunami of death. Yes, that's the word he used, the phrase he used, coming to the vaccinated. Hopefully that's not true, but we're going to share what he has to say about that and much, much more here on The Financial Physician. So buckle up. Let's get started. All right, many Americans save for retirement mainly through 401k plans offered by their employers. Now, if you work for a school or a hospital, maybe it's a 403b. It's the same thing. It's just got a different number on it in the tax code. It's the same thing. Tax-deferred savings accounts where money comes out of your paycheck and in some cases matched to some extent from your employer, grows tax-deferred, and when you take the money out, you pay taxes on it. And by participating as much as you can, you build up a really solid retirement plan. But there's an important option that's available with the 401k that many people aren't aware of, and they don't take advantage of it, much to their detriment. And what it is that when you turn 59 and a half, you can move a portion of the money from your 401k into a rollover IRA without any penalty. Even if you're still employed, and even if your employer is still contributing to the plan. Now, why would you want to do this? Well, number one, by putting it into an IRA account, you have more flexibility. It's easier to access the money than it is in a 401k. But more importantly, you have every investment option available to you. In a 401k, you have limited investment options, whatever the plan offers. Maybe it doesn't give you enough diversification. Maybe it doesn't give you enough conservative options. Also, if you have an IRA account that's independent, you could deal with a financial planner. You're not going to find a financial planner that's really going to work with you when the assets are at your employer's 401k plan. because most planners get paid by managing the money, and they get a fee based on the assets under management. So if you have a way of controlling your own money and putting it into your own IRA, you could hire a financial advisor to manage it for you or manage it with you. Now, I would not take it all out. What I would do is if I had $500,000 in my 401k and I'm 59 and a half, I would take $490,000 of it and roll it over into my IRA account and leave $10,000. Why would I leave $10,000 and not take it all? Because I want to still contribute to it. I just want to take the bulk of it out of there and have a more flexibility with it. But I still want to be able to participate in the plan. Certainly to the extent that my employer matches my contribution. Now, most employers match the contribution up to maybe 4% of your income, whatever it is. It varies by employer and it varies by their generosity. But anybody who's not at least putting enough money into the 401k that at least exceeds the match or equals the match is silly, because you're turning away 100% return on your money. This is free money. So you certainly want to take advantage of that. And a lot of people don't know that they can do this. You know, if you're not 59 and a half, you can't move that money out of the plan to your own IRA. You're not allowed to do that until you terminate service. You're fired, you retire, you quit. The company's bought out by another company. That allows you to exit their 401k plan. So it makes a lot of sense to do this if you can. Now, if you can manage your own money, you'd roll it over to Vanguard or Fidelity and take advantage of all the options they have. If you're going to deal with a financial planner or money manager, then you're going to roll it over to a brokerage account, IRA account. And a great part about the brokerage account IRA is that every available investment, or I should say every investment out there, is available to you. Well, most of them anyway. Every stock, every bond, gold, silver, oil, ETFs, virtually any place that you possibly can invest money is available to you in a self-directed IRA account. And that's why so many people are missing the boat, and they're over 59 and a half. They're still working, but they don't realize they could take that money out. Also, maybe you want to start thinking about converting some of your pre-tax money into after-tax money by converting part of that rollover into Roth IRA. And maybe doing that over a number of years as you get closer and closer to retirement, so you have a tax-free source of money later on in life. Now, these 401k rollovers is something that I work on with clients on almost a daily basis. And in most cases, my clients in their 60s didn't realize the rollover IRA was an option. Now, if the spouse isn't 59 and a half yet, she can't roll over her 401k yet. But as soon as she turns 59 and a half, then we suggest that they do. Now, another thing that people do is they have orphaned 401k accounts. What does that mean? You left an employer, and you just left the money there in the 401k. About 20% of Americans have dormant 401k accounts, which is money left behind to a former employer when you leave. The average balance in those accounts, over $55,000. So the money's still yours, but the account just sits there in the employer plan. Why would you leave it there? It makes no sense. The reason why people leave it there is because they're lazy. And it's easy to do nothing. But the accounts just sit there. No new contributions are made to them. There's usually very little thought on how good they're doing in the market and how what their return is. And they're orphaned. I think that's a great term for it. Some people have three or four or five of these. And it makes no sense to leave it there. Now, with the dormant accounts, you don't have to wait till you're 59 and a half to roll it over. You just have to separate service, which you already have. That's why they're dormant. So why not consolidate these orphaned 401k plans into one rollover IRA. And a good financial professional could show you how to do that and ultimately how to invest it. And the problem with a lot of investors with 401k plans is that they're way too risky. They have to realize that as they get closer to retirement, they can't assume the same amount of risk that they could assume in their 30s. Because this money now needs to be available to them to live off of. So many times when I look at the 401k plans of new clients that come to me, first of all, I ask them, well, what's your equity exposure here as a percent of the portfolio? And they look at me like a dog that's confused. They don't know how to answer that because they don't know what it is. Many of them don't know that the title of certain funds that they have in their 401k doesn't mean stock market, doesn't mean bond market, doesn't mean international. What does it mean? Sometimes I don't know. I have to look it up. And that's what I do. I'll look at the portfolio and I'll say, well, you got 75, 80% in the stock market, 20% in the bond market. That's way too risky. It should be the other way around. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's how people get hurt just before retirement. The worst thing that can happen to you just before retirement is a bear market or a crash, even worse, because now you don't have the time to recover. So a good financial professional could advise you through the rollover IRA how to lower the risk and prepare that money for retirement. Because when you retire, that money's got to be available for income. So talk to a financial planner. If you're 59 and a half and you have a 401k at your employer and you'd want to employ a financial advisor, you just want to exit the plan and have more flexibility in your investment options, then rolling over to an IRA makes a lot of sense. And if you have orphaned 401ks elsewhere, get them out of that company and put them in your own IRA account. Well, how much does the average American have saved for retirement at age 60? Well, the answer is not enough. Most people have way less money than they should have. The average for a 60-year-old in their retirement plan is $200,000. That's not a lot of money. Certainly not enough money to last maybe 25 years in your retirement. If you think about it, if you retire with $200,000 and you follow what's called the 4% rule, where you take out 4% a year to live off of, let's say 5%. Let's round it up, right? Well, now let's keep it at 4%. At 4%, it's $8,000 a year or $673 a month. That's not a lot of money. Now, yeah, you can go into the principal and make it $1,000 a month, but that money's going to run out at some point. So most people have not saved enough into their retirement. Now, most people, you know, some advisors say you should have $1 million saved. Some say $1.5 million. Well, it depends. Some people say that, some advisors say, and I think this is pretty good advice, you should save in your retirement plans 10 times your last year's salary. So if you made $100,000 in your last year's, you should have $1 million. Now, of course, the more money you make, the more you can sock away into the 401k, so the bigger it'll grow. And that's why, unfortunately, people, not unfortunately for the people who make money, but not fortunate for the lower income people, the higher income people find it much easier to sock away the maximum into their retirement plans. And since they're high income, they get the biggest tax break from the deduction. That's just the way it is. And we could have the argument about the tax cuts for the rich and the rich always benefit, and there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. So the more money you make, the more you should have saved for retirement. And it makes sense. You make more money, you can save more money. The problem is a lot of people, when they start making more money, they increase their lifestyle accordingly. So therefore, they really can't save any more because they're spending more. But we have a real retirement crisis in this country. so many American people, and I've been talking about it for weeks. And I hope I'm not beating a dead horse, but it's so important that you know that. That you do what you need to do to protect yourselves. So many people with the biggest fear right now is running out of money in retirement. And it should be a genuine fear for a lot of people. Now, I got some clients who have a lot of money, and they have no need to worry about it. And they worry about it every night. But that's a different story. Now, the problem with retirement for a lot of people is, and I said it, I think, last week, and again, I'm beating a dead horse, but too many people are retiring with debt. And debt's a four-letter word here. And debt is what kills retirement. Retiring with a mortgage, retiring with car payments, retirement with student loans from their children. And the worst debt in retirement is credit card debt. And I would be so fearful if I'm looking at retirement and I still have a mortgage on my house. I'd be more fearful if I still had car payments on my car in addition to a mortgage on my house. I'd be even more fearful if I signed a student loan debt for my kids, especially if they're defaulting on it and I'm responsible for it because I co-signed it. And even worse than that, people who have mortgages, car debt, student loan debt, and credit card debt. How you could stop working, I have no idea. And you probably won't. Now, what happens if you have a high credit card debt balance? I mean, it's a serious thing. I mean, I've talked to you about it on this show. We have record credit card debt in America right now. And more and more older people are carrying that debt. On the same time, we have record interest rates averaging about 20% on that debt. It is, in my book, The Financial Physician, I say debt is cancer to the financial body. That is good debt. There's bad debt. This is the worst debt. Good debt would be a mortgage on your home with a decent interest rate. That's probably the best debt you could possibly have. But the worst debt you could have is credit cards. So how do you pay it off? How do you attack it? It's a daunting task for people. And the first thing I do when I see a client, I see they have high credit card debt. Now, I don't see a lot of these people because they wouldn't come to me if they didn't have any money. I manage money for people. I'm a certified financial planner. Rarely do I come across somebody who has no money and has all this debt in the world. I mean, I could advise you, but I can't help you that much. What am I going to do for you? Now, I could show you how to attack that debt, which I would do. And I talk about that in my book, and there's a number of ways of doing that. All right. Now, a lot of people have different opinions on how you should attack that. I believe that you should do it the opposite of what Dave Ramsey says. Dave Ramsey says that you should do what he calls the snowball method. And this approach involves paying the minimum amount due on all your credit cards, except for the card with the lowest balance. So if you have extra cash after going to the minimums, you would add it to the minimum payment for that card. And his thought is that once you paid off the lowest balance, you have a victory. You've eliminated one credit card debt. And that may motivate you to move to the next card with the next lowest balance, and then have another victory by paying that off. And he calls that the snowball effect. And it increases your monthly payment each time you pay off a balance because now you're free to direct all your payments to the next one. All right, that's an all right method. My method is different, though. It's called the debt avalanche method or approach. And it works kind of the same as the snowball strategy. The only difference is instead of targeting the lowest balance that you have first, you focused on the card with the highest interest rate. That makes more sense. What if the one with the lowest balance has the lowest interest rate. Why would I want to pay that off first? So me and Mr. Ramsey differ on this. I believe in paying down the highest debt and eliminating as much interest cost as you can. So that's the way I would do it. What if you can't do it? What if you really are so far behind that you can't do it? Well, the first thing I would consider is a debt consolidation. Debt consolidation involves paying off one or more of your credit cards with another credit card or a consolidation loan. So one way you could do it is, you know, credit cards are being offered all the time with zero interest for 6, 12 months, sometimes 18 months if you transfer a balance from another credit card. I know people who are experts at this. They keep moving their debt. It never gets paid, but they have zero interest rates on it the whole time instead of paying 20%. That's a masterful person who's that diligent, could always find cards that they can keep transferring to. Now, the key is you have to be able to get that new card and qualify for it. You have to have a good credit score. And how many people with a lot of credit card debt have a good credit score, right? So that may be a problem. Another way is a loan, a personal loan. You take out at a lower interest rate than the credit cards, and you pay off the credit cards. Now, again, you have to qualify for the personal loan. The average personal loan interest right now is about 12%. Not the greatest interest, but better than 20% or 22% if that's what you're paying. Personal loans provide you with a fixed repayment term. You can't get that from a credit card. And many people with credit cards fall into the minimum payment trap. If you do that, you're just paying interest. That's all you're doing. You're never paying down your debt. You're just paying somebody else their interest. That is foolish. But some people, that's what they could afford to do. So now you have to look at a personal loan or some way to consolidate that. Other ways of consolidating the debt, maybe you have home equity, equity in your home. And maybe you can get a home equity loan or a home equity line of credit and pay down the debt. Now, maybe you're looking at 6 or 7% interest as opposed to 20 plus. And with a home equity line of credit, you could pay it down as you see fit. You want to, you get a tax refund, you want to pay a couple of grand off, you just do it. And many times I suggest to our clients that they do that. Now, just remember, if you don't pay the home equity product, your home's at risk. They can take it. You can lose it. Another option is, we were talking about 401ks before. How about a loan? You could borrow from your retirement plan. And these loans don't require a credit check because you're borrowing your own money. The interest rate is relatively low. Typically, you have 5 years to pay back the debt. But if you leave your employer for any reason, it may come due sooner. You may have to pay it. Or if you don't pay it off, it'll be treated like an early withdrawal. And then you'll have to pay tax on that money. And if you're not 59 and a half, you'll have to pay a 10% penalty. So just realize, when you borrow from your 401k, you could have major tax problems if you don't pay it back within 5 years. Another thing you could do is get credit counseling. And this is the last thing you want to do before bankruptcy. There's companies that will counsel you, will then contact your creditors, negotiate a lower interest rate, or put it all together under one debt that you pay the debt management service. Lower interest rates, lower monthly payments, and you have to repay it in 3 to 5 years. So you pay them, and then they distribute it to your creditors. Now, many credit cards and banks and creditors will do this. They rather do this and get their money back under different terms than having you file Chapter 11 or Chapter 7 and walk away from the debt completely. So if you want to avoid bankruptcy, the debt management, credit counseling, you've heard the commercials on it. And I've directed people to credit counseling services before with very good results. So if you have credit card debt, the number one financial goal you have in your life right now is to eliminate it. To eliminate it, the highest interest debt first, maybe transferring balances to 0% credit cards. If you could do that, then start attacking the debt. That's even a better thing. That's actually the best option. Now, keep in mind, when you transfer balances to a zero interest credit card, you don't get it for free. There's usually an upfront fee, 3 to 5% of the balance transferred. So there will be some cost to that. But very important. And then lastly, if, you know, I've seen people come in with 40, 50, 60, 80,000 in credit card debt. And based on their budget, there's no way they're going to be able to ever get out from under it. That's when I suggest, as a last option, contacting a bankruptcy attorney. And with bankruptcy, it goes away. So does your credit rating and your ability to access credit for quite some time. But it's a fresh start. And I've dealt with people, that's the avenue I would advise them to go down in. It was a new start for them. And that was the right move for them. But I don't care how you do it. Your number one goal in life, if you have credit card debt, is to make it go away. Holy crap. What is that? Oh, my desk. I'm recording this show on Friday morning, and all of a sudden, my desk started to shake. Is this an earthquake? I don't know what this is. Oh, wow. I'm just getting a text from one of my friends saying, did you feel the earthquake? It was an earthquake. Here on the Jersey Shore. Wow. I remember, got about 15 years ago, sitting at my desk in my office in Howell, New Jersey, and all of a sudden everything started shaking, and I never felt an earthquake before. And that wasn't an earthquake in Maryland, but wow. That wasn't that bad, but it's scary. I couldn't imagine living in California and having to deal with that. All right, they're saying now on TV that it was a 4.8 earthquake felt across New Jersey and New York. Wow. I'm ready. Later in the program, we're going to talk about the big eclipse on Monday. And now we have an earthquake on Friday. Crazy stuff happening, my friends. I don't know what it is, but that was a weird sensation. And now they're talking about it on Fox, that it was felt all across New York and New Jersey. I don't know where the epicenter is, but wow. Very unusual event here in the Jersey Shore to feel an earthquake. Crazy stuff. All right, back to the show. On the first Friday of every month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the previous month's jobs report. And they tell us how many jobs were created in the economy or lost in the previous month. They also announce the unemployment rate, and then they announce the details of where the employment came from, where jobs were lost, where jobs were created, what were part-time, what were full-time, the labor participation rate. And as has been the case, I think something like 15 of the last 16 or 17 months, the jobs report has come in much better than economists expected. Now, that's statistically impossible. So it has to be something else. It has to be fudging of the numbers. So this month, the average economist expected 200,000 jobs to be created in March. And they came out with 303,000 jobs were created in March. Just 50% higher than the average economist figured. And this has been the case almost every month for the last year. And I told you, how many times have I told you? Do not believe any economic number that comes out during this election year. They're going to massage them. They're going to make them look better than they are. And here's a case in point where they did it again. Now, of course, they revised last month's better than expected number down, and they're probably going to revise it down again. But this is what they do. Now, Biden's going to come out. You know, he's going to come out and say, Bidenomics is working. We need four more years. We can't let Trump come. I inherited a terrible economy. But if you look under the surface, it is not a good report. Most of the jobs created were part-time jobs. And many of the jobs went to illegal immigrants. That's the analysis of the report. But the White House is going to pitch Bidenomics as a miraculous economic panacea. And now we'll have to see whether or not the Federal Reserve gets spooked by strong economic numbers like this. Or do they know better? You would think that they know better than the Bureau of Labor Statistics, really, what the real unemployment rate is and really how many jobs are created. So maybe they're not going to go by the headline numbers. The unemployment rate unexpectedly dropped from 3.9% to 3.8%. So they're jacking Biden up now. They're pumping up some drugs into him to get him awake, putting on some makeup so he doesn't look totally like a corpse. Tell him he has to get out of his jammies and put a suit on. And they're going to trot him out in a little while, I'm sure. And he's going to come out and say what a wonderful report this is and how the economy is doing so well under my watch. Watch what's going to happen. We'll see. I'll play it later in the show because once he comes out and says it, I'll play it. But that's what happens all the time. I don't trust anything. I don't trust the GDP number. I don't trust the numbers for inflation. I don't trust the job numbers. They're all fudged. Everything is fake. Do you realize that? There's no truth in society anymore. You can't find truth from your government. We'll talk about the lies that were told to us during COVID later on in the program and how that's coming back. And people are realizing that we've been scammed. Worse than that. But everything's fake. Everything is a lie. Everything is propaganda. The United States has turned into the 1980s Soviet Union. We really have. And it's becoming more so each and every day. You can't find truth on social media because people are censored. People are shadow banned. You can't find truth anywhere. And it's a sad thing when you can't trust your government to tell you the truth. The economy is not good. These jobs are not being created. And if they are, they're minimum wage, part-time jobs, many of them going to illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, if you look under the cover here, we lost almost 7,000 full-time jobs. And 690-something thousand part-time jobs were created. Tell one of those 7,000 people who lost their full-time job, well, there's lots of part-time jobs available for you. Quality jobs are going away. Jobs with benefits are going away. And they're being replaced by AI. One day we'll do a whole segment on AI. I've been promising you that, and I haven't got to it. But I will. Right after income tax season's over, I'll do a significant segment on it. Because I'm educating myself now on it. It's scary stuff. It has some positive things, actually. A lot of positive things about AI. But there's a lot of scary things, too. So we'll do a whole segment on that. Maybe next week. I'm not going to promise you that. But they're lying to us about basically everything. And we'll see how much they revise down that number. Now, initially, Wall Street didn't like it because if the economy's strong, the Fed may not lower interest rates, and the market loves lowered interest rates. It's since rebounded. I guess when people looked under the hood and saw the quality of the jobs being created, they realized that the economy isn't that strong, and I think the Fed's going to still go and lower interest rates later this year. All right, it's April, so it's can you believe it? It's April already. Time flies so fast these days, and I've talked about it many times. I think time is speeding up, but we're in April already. It doesn't feel like April here in New Jersey. It's been cold and rainy. It's been a pretty crappy spring so far. Hopefully it'll get better. All right, so since it is the end of the quarter, let's bring you up to date on what financial markets are doing. I haven't done that in a while. And from all the hype about the stock market, you would have thought the stock market had an incredible quarter. And the S&P and the NASDAQ actually had a pretty good quarter. Not a spectacular quarter. Everybody's talking about how this bull market is doing so well. And it has done really well since October of last year, up about 30%. But let's look year-to-date on a Dow Jones Industrial Average. Year-to-date, it's 2.41%. Now, that's a little bit past the first quarter. It's the first quarter in 4 days. But the Dow was down 3% this week. Now, the markets haven't closed yet. It's like noontime on Friday, not even. So I don't know what the final figure is will be. But as I'm doing this, as of Thursday, April 5th, actually, Thursday, April 4th, the Dow's up 2.41% for the year. That's not very good. The S&P 500, substantially better, 7.91 for the first quarter or year to date, down 2% this week. The NASDAQ, I thought it would be the NASDAQ with all the AI stocks in it and, you know, all the big tech companies would be the big winner. It did less than the S&P 500. It was only up 6.91% for the year so far. Let's look at interest rates. The 10-year yield has gone up. Right now, it's 4.35%. It was down about 3.4% last fall. So interest rates are rising in the bond market, which is kind of curious because, you know, if we're at the peak of interest rates, bond yields should start to go down. And they're not. They're going up. And I wonder what that means. It means that the bond market either knows that the United States government is going to be flooding the world with treasury bonds in the next year or two as we continue our deficit spending and the selling off U.S. bonds. Or the market thinks, and the bond market thinks, that that the Fed's not going to raise rates, maybe even not lower rates, maybe even raise them. But that's one of the things I really keep a good eye on. Interest rates in a 10-year, because a lot of other interest rates in the economy flow from that, namely mortgage rates. Now, mortgage rates are going back up, and I expect them to go over 7 next week. Right now, the national average on 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 6.82. I think it's almost guaranteed that we'll be at 7 or above 7 next week sometime, because it's been a big move in yields up in a 10-year this week, and uses a week delay. Gasoline prices, a very important parameter when people think about who they want to vote for in a presidential election. They look at fuel prices. How much does it cost me to fill up my car and go to work every week? And in New Jersey here, it's $3.30 a gallon. But the national average is quite higher. And some places like California, you know, in California, it costs $5.20 a gallon to fill up your car. Why is everything stupid in California? Oh, we know. Probably, I'm sure they tax gasoline up the gazoo in California. That's the highest. But the national average is something like $3.60, $3.70. Now, if you live here in New Jersey, gasoline prices are about to go up, and probably about 30 cents a gallon in April alone. Why is that happening? Well, number one, oil prices just went up to $90 a barrel, so gasoline prices follow. But more importantly, there's a switch. When we go into the summer, they switch the type of gasoline that we buy. Due to smog, and they use a cleaner blend or something like that. I don't know the science behind it, but they switch out to a cleaner gasoline, which costs more money to produce. That's as far as I'll go with it. So New Jerseyans could expect a 30 cent or more gallon increase, bringing gasoline prices to 3.5 $3.60 a gallon. Bitcoin, after hitting 73 or 4, I forgot what the high is on it, right now is around 67, very volatile. Gold, as we speak, just hit a new record high at $2,313 an ounce. Gold and silver are breaking out. And I've been talking about it for some time here, what was going to happen with gold and silver and the importance of having it in your life. And I think this is just the beginning. I think there's a very good chance that we could see $3,000 gold this year. Silver, which not long ago was $21 an ounce, is now $27 an ounce. Very important technical breakout for silver. And I think there's a tremendous bull market ahead for precious metals. And why wouldn't there be? I mean, we're debasing the dollar. We're borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days in America. We're going to have budget deficits soaring as far as the eye can see, which means we have to borrow more and more money. The Fed has to print more and more money. The Fed's next move is to lower interest rates, most likely. That's not good for your currency. We got inflation. You know, it's not a surprise that people look into gold, silver, real estate, even stocks as a better alternative to having cash in a bank that's depreciating. And I think this is just the beginnings of what's going to be a major, major bull market in gold and silver. And hopefully you've taken advantage of it. I've talked about it a lot of times in this program, so hopefully you've protected yourself. And gold is up something like 15% year to date, and silver is even doing better, up 19% year to date. Blowing away the stock market, isn't it? And again, I think it's just the beginning. By the way, I stand corrected. Gold's up $30 today, so it's $2,333 an ounce, record high, and silver's $2,744. Now, silver has a long way to go for a record high because silver's record high, I think, was $49 and change. While gold's been hitting record highs almost every day the last couple of weeks, silver is still way, way, way far away from their record high. And that's why there's so much more upside in silver, I believe, than gold. But gold and silver doing really well. What does it mean? Probably not good things, that's for sure. All right, let's take a short break. My name's Lou Scatigna. You're listening to The Financial Physician. Don't go away.
Are you currently retired or planning to retire in the next 5 years? Hey, Lou Scatigna here, certified financial planner, personal finance author, president of AFM Investments. Why not join me for a comprehensive financial review at my downtown Toms River office? Banks are paying virtually nothing, and the stock market has become a risky casino. But there are ways to achieve reasonable returns without taking on big risks. Let me show you how. During our meeting, I will determine your net worth, find ways to maximize your income, and minimize your taxes. I'll review your estate plan and discuss strategies to protect your estate from nursing home costs. Managing your finances is more complicated than ever, but you don't have to go it alone. So make your no-obligation appointment today by calling 732-905-8100. That's 732-905-8100.
Visit advisory services through Fortitude Advisory Group.
Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, a family-owned and operated premier septic installation and repair company with more than a decade of experience in the septic services. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer provides full-service maintenance and cleaning services, pumping septic tanks, repairing broken sewer lines, cleaning of grease tanks for restaurants, as well as real estate septic inspections, repairs, and installations. Phone 732-600-8721 or go to jerseyshoreseptic.com to learn more. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, top quality work at the most affordable rates.
All right, welcome back to a special earthquake edition of The Financial Physician, as we just experienced a 4.7 earthquake here in New Jersey as I was recording. 25 years of doing radio and podcasting, and I don't recall ever recording a show where we experienced an earthquake. And I didn't know what I was experiencing. I didn't know if I had my window open a little bit. Maybe wind blew in here and started shaking my desk. Then I stood up and I realized this is something something more serious than that. And thankfully, it only lasted like 10, 15 seconds, and that was it. But I can't imagine how scary it would be being in an earthquake that's like an 8.0 or even a 7.0 where real damage is done. I mean, it's got to be frightening. I mean, the first thing you want to do is run out of your house so you don't get trapped. Isn't that one of all of our biggest fears? And I know it's me. I'm claustrophobic. Could you imagine being stuck under a collapsed building for days with your legs broken? You can't move. That would be pretty scary stuff. For me, beyond scary. I would just die of being frightened and freaking out that I can't move. I don't wish that on anybody, but that's my biggest fear. Anyway, thanks for joining us for today's podcast, and thanks for sharing the podcast with friends and family. That's the way the podcast grows. That's the only way it grows. People don't stumble upon a podcast. They hear about it from a friend. They see something on social media or a forum. So please share the podcast with friends and family. Really do appreciate that. You want to get in touch with me? I love communicating with our listeners. So send me an email, lou@thefinancialphysician.com. lou@thefinancialphysician.com. Something you want me to cover on the show, or if you have a personal issue that I could help you with. Those are my favorite emails. When someone's in trouble or someone doesn't know where to turn, and I can give them the proper direction. That makes my day every single time. That's lou@thefinancialphysician.com. Now, did you hear about this? In a heist of biblical proportions, I mean, this is something you don't see. Thieves stole about $30 million in cash from a Los Angeles vault on Easter Sunday night. And nobody even noticed that the vault was empty until the morning when people came to work. And I don't know how this could happen. This has to be an inside job. So the burglary took place Sunday night at the Garda World facility in Sylmar, California, which handles cash for several businesses in the area. The thieves were so stealthy that the safe showed no signs of a break-in from the outside, and the operators of the business were none the wiser until they opened it on Monday. So what did they do? Did they close the safe after taking the money out? I don't know. Apparently, the thieves accessed the facility through the roof and managed to avoid setting off any alarms when they got into the money storage area. Footage of the facility on Wednesday showed what appeared to be a gaping hole in the side of the building with a pile of debris next to it. Wow. That's a pretty big heist, don't you think? $30 million in cash. One of the largest in Los Angeles history. And so obviously these people knew what they were doing. My guess is this was an inside job. We'll see if they ever get caught. But how do you pull off that? I mean, you got to think that the security in a building like that, guarding, you know, that has $30 million cash in it, would be over-the-top security, 24/7 monitoring. Don't they have any security at the building or in the building? I don't know. With $30 million in there, I think they should spend some of that money hiring security going forward. Anyway, now before I mentioned gasoline prices and how it's going up, I guess it's $1.50 higher than when Biden took office. And if you recall, you remember just before the midterm elections, Biden drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, some say he was doing it to try to lower oil prices and gasoline prices prior to the midterms. Others said he was doing it to help China, because that's where a lot of this oil went, by the way. And now we're at the lowest level in reserves that we've been in 40 years. At the same time, we may be on the cusp of a major regional war in the Middle East of which there may be an Arab oil embargo, for those of you old enough to remember back in the 70s when that happened, what life was like here in the United States during that embargo. And that's the whole reason to have a strategic petroleum reserve for times like that. And I said on my 2024 forecast show in January that I think there's a good potential that we're going to see an Arab oil embargo against the West. And if that happens, well, we have no backup. Biden's, you know, destroyed our oil industry, our ability to produce. Now we're dependent on foreign oil again. With Trump, we weren't. We were selling oil. So for political purposes, Joe drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and now we're vulnerable. And that oil went to India and China. To add to the scandal, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, if you recall, secretly consulted with the Communist Party of China, their energy officials, before Joe Biden released barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And why was she doing that? What were they talking about? Now, the Department of Energy and the Biden administration downplayed the consultation with the communist in China, saying that the meeting was part of the agency's effort to combat climate change. Again, crazy wokeness there. I don't know. The Biden crime family has received $31 million from companies tied to the Chinese Communist Party's Ministry of State Security. This is treasonous, if true. And now he comes out. Well, first he came out and said this shortly after draining it.
Today I'm announcing a plan to refill the Strategic Petroleum Oil Reserve in the years ahead at a profit for taxpayers. The United States government is going to purchase oil to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
All right, spit it out, Joe. You can get it out. So he's going to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And his goal, he said, is he's going to sell it around $90 and buy it back at $70 and make a nice profit for the United States. Well, now oil prices are $90, and the Biden administration just came out and canceled its plan to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve because oil is way too expensive. And this comes, as I said before, gas prices are skyrocketing again. And this is our everything this guy, this administration does is the opposite of what's good for America. The Energy Department said it was keeping the taxpayers' interest at the forefront in its decision not to purchase as many as 3 million barrels of oil for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The plan for the barrels to be delivered in August and September had been announced in mid-March. In October 2022, Joe Biden absurdly claimed he would be refilling the oil reserve at $70 a barrel to make money. Now, KGP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, the worst presidential spokesperson in history, never answers a question. Never answers a question. Always defers it to somebody else. So Peter Ducey, the only one who asked hard questions in that room, came out and asked her, you know, why is he doing this? Now, of course, she deflects the question again.
Thank you. First, so you guys started draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy. I know there are certain components to that and how they were going to move forward in refilling it. They would have more specifics on that for you.
Okay.
So you're telling me that it was the Energy Department that made the decision to drain the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? Well, did Biden have any say in that? So you're trying to tell me that the president has no say in refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? She never takes responsibility, never answers a question, always defers it to the White House counsel. We refer it to the Justice Department. We refer it to the Energy Department. You see, she never answers a question. I don't even know why she has a job, because she serves no purpose. It's unbelievable. But here we have, you know, a situation. Mark my words on this. You're going to say Lou is right. Sometime this year, especially obviously if the situation in the Middle East breaks down, there is going to be an Arab oil embargo. And I lived through it. I remember what it's like. Those of you old enough know. You couldn't get gasoline. It was rationed. Odd and even days based on your license plate. Yeah, and you lined up for 2 miles and waited 2 hours to get half a tank. And the price went through the roof. Fueling inflation. And here we are without any strategic petroleum reserve to speak of. Oil prices are rising. You're going to see $150 oil. That's another thing. Mark my word on it. Write it down. What does that mean? That means $6, $7, $8 gasoline. And it means massive inflation in our economy. And now we're not going to replenish our storage because it's too expensive. What a stupid move. There was no logical reason to drain the SPR except for politics or possible treason, given our oil reserves to the Chinese. Do you believe that? Our national security, our national energy security is being destroyed by this administration. Again, everything they do is to the detriment of America and Americans. This man is a national security risk in so many different ways. It's amazing that he's still there. And it's amazing that Trump isn't up by 30 points in this election. He probably is. As a matter of fact, a new Wall Street Journal poll shows Trump leading Biden in 6 of 7 swing states. And it seems that the lead is getting bigger and bigger for Trump in these swing states. The lead is between 2 and 8 percentage points among voters in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina. And if there is a free and fair election, Trump will win by landslide. But there's no more free and fair elections in this country. Now that they were able to scare everybody into using mail-in ballots over COVID or what turned out to be the annual flu. Remember, it was a temporary measure. But nothing put in place by government is ever a temporary measure. So we're stuck with mail-in ballots forever now. So there's never going to be a free and fair election again. The question is, who cheats the most? And the Democrats are adept at that. What the lead is for the Republican. The Republican can't win by 2 points. It's not going to happen. They'll come up with two points of fraud. So the Republicans got to be up by 5% to overcome. I don't think they could create enough fraudulent ballots to overcome 5% of the vote in some of these states. But who knows? Who knows? But we'll see again on this election. Do they stop counting at night and find out how far they are behind? And then all of a sudden, overnight, Biden takes over. And hundreds of thousands, millions of votes come in out of nowhere. Zero for Trump, all for Biden. But there's no fraud in America. It's just unbelievable. But we'll never have. We haven't had a free and fair election for a long time. Decades. Even going back to JFK's time, where his election was stolen when he first ran for president. It was stolen in Chicago by Mayor Daley in the middle of the night, if you recall. But it's getting so worse now. It's getting to the point of where it's like an election in Venezuela here now. And now there's evidence that they're registering all the illegal aliens that are coming across They're able to get in some states driver's licenses. That's all you need to register. No proof of citizenship. It's not needed. And they're going to harvest all these ballots and use them in the swing states. That's the game plan. That's the only way they can win. They know it. But the left in this country can't understand why people want Trump. They just can't understand it, the left in this country. Why would anybody want this guy? Do you know what he wants to do to our democracy? Yeah, he wants to save it from what Biden's doing and wrecking it. Now, listen to Hillary Clinton. This came out about a week ago. You remember this clip where she doesn't understand why people are voting for Trump or like him, and that people have to get over themselves, that that's the choice, Trump and Biden.
I mean, it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, love that.
Right? And good. You know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart, and really cares about people, and one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, by all deranged Democratic operatives, left-wing prosecutors in left-wing red blue states. Yeah, he's been charged with 91 felonies. Meanwhile, the Bidens are charged with nothing, given all their criminality.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have, and people who blow that off are not paying attention, because it's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want a country with secure borders, with energy independence, with national security, with lower crime. That's what they want. And they told you what they're going to do. What is she talking about? Closing the border? What is she talking about? How is he going to destroy democracy? And they just don't get it. They don't understand what American people are seeing here in this country. Now, Jimmy Kimmel, he can't understand why Trump is polling better than Biden in so many swing states. And he goes off to rattle all these people who said negative things about Trump that used to work for him. They're all part of the deep state. The deep state doesn't want him back. And many of his people are so disloyal. They worked for him. They were given opportunities in the government. And now they've all turned against him. Because Trump, bad man. We can't have him back into the swamp. It's our swamp, and we like it.
Haley got 13% of the Republican vote in New York. More than 20% of Republicans in Wisconsin didn't vote for Trump. But not only is he still the front runner, according to a new Wall Street Journal poll, Trump leads Biden in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, all important states, which just gives me a headache. How could this be? I mean, he doesn't even lead in a poll of people who worked for him. His own former vice president said, I cannot in good conscience endorse Donald Trump. Here's what you should be paying attention to. His longtime former lawyer, Michael Cohen, says Donald's an idiot. His former defense secretary, Mark Esper, said, I think he's unfit for office. His other former defense secretary said, he's the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people. He tries to divide us. Former chief of staff, John Kelly, said Trump has nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our Constitution, and the rule of law. His former attorney general, Bill Barr, suggested Trump shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office. Former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said his understanding of global and U.S. history is really limited. Can we get some music to speed this up? Because there are more. Former National Security Advisor said he showed the absence of leadership. Another former National Security Advisor said foreign leaders think he is a laughing fool. His former communications director called him the domestic terrorist of the 21st century. His former press secretary said, I'm terrified of him running in 2024. His former Homeland Security advisor, an utter disgrace.
Well, that's enough. You get the hint. These people are going to be so stunned when they wake up election the night after the election, the morning after the election, and they realize how far people have turned away from the left in this country. And if it doesn't happen, the country's doomed. And I saw in taxis, and it's almost over now, I had to see 250 people in my conference room in 10 weeks. Not one was a Biden supporter. Not one. Now, granted, most of my clients have come to me because they listened to my radio show for a long time, and left-leaning people will not be listening to my radio show. It would be like nails on a chalkboard for them. So they wouldn't listen. So I get it. Most of my clients are like-thinking as I am. They're conservative. But they all said to me, Lou, you know, where's this country going? I've never seen anything like it. Never thought in my whole life I would see what's happening in America right now. And they're right. And they're fed up with it. And they feel helpless, especially if they steal this election again. People are going to feel that, hey, I my vote don't count anymore. I don't have a democracy. And they're the first ones to say that Trump is the risk to democracy. Everything they say about him is what they're doing. It's called projection. They're very good at it, the Democrats. It's Trump's fault, the border. It's Trump's fault. We inherited a bad immigration system. It's Trump's fault the economy isn't doing good because we inherited a terrible economy from him. Everything's Trump's fault. This administration never takes accountability for anything. Oh, yeah, the withdrawal in Afghanistan, Trump's fault. Everything is Trump's fault. The guy hasn't been in office in 4 years. It's really quite unbelievable. But the Dems, the left, are starting to panic now. They're losing the young vote. They're losing the black vote. They're losing the Hispanic vote. They're losing even the union vote, the rank and file. And they're starting to lose the women vote. Now, they're going to run on abortion. That's the only thing they have to run on. They can't run on anything else. Trump's going to try to take your rights to abortion away. That's all you're going to hear. And it seems to be working in some local elections or state house elections where the candidate that was pro-abortion, that was the subject, and they won over the Republican. Hopefully women aren't that stupid, that's going to be their driving policy or their driving topic that's important to them. There's a lot more important things in our country right now to deal with than that. We'll see what happens. Still got a long ways to go to the election. Right now, it's looking good for Trump. It's looking terrible for Biden. We'll see if they pull the ripcord and get rid of Biden by the convention. If it looks like he has no chance of winning and that they can't cheat enough. And then what do they do? I don't know. But it doesn't seem like anybody can stop the MAGA movement right now. You want one more reason to vote Biden out? How about World War III? It seems that the United States, this administration, is doing everything they can to bring us to that spot. This week, Secretary of State Tony Blinken says that Ukraine will be joining NATO. And if that's true, you know what that means? That under Article 5, this means that an attack on Ukraine will be considered an attack on the United States, which in other words is World War III. These people are doing nothing to try to end this conflict. So if you want nuclear war, vote for Joe Biden. That's what it comes down to. And Trump says he would end this in 24 hours. Whether he could or not, I don't know. But he sure would try. This administration isn't trying. There's no talk of peace. All they're talking about is putting troops into Ukraine, making Ukraine NATO, everything they can to antagonize Putin. And this is not going to end well, people. We're talking about, you know, the potential world war in the Middle East. How about this? This is Putin talking. This is a quote. "We remember the fate of those who sent their troop contingents to the territory of our country." An apparent allusion to failed invasions by Napoleon and Hitler. "Now the consequences for the potential invaders will be far more tragic." In a two-hour speech before an audience of lawmakers and top officials, Putin cast Western leaders as reckless and irresponsible and declared that the West should keep in mind that we also have weapons that can strike targets on their territory, and what they are now suggesting and scaring the world with, all that raises the real threat of a nuclear conflict that will mean the destruction of our civilization. Wow. And this is not off the cuff. This is a carefully crafted message directed specifically at Biden and NATO. And this was just after a couple of weeks ago. You remember French President Macron said that we need to send troops to Ukraine? Now, he tried to back away from that a little bit. But on Monday, he said sending Western troops on the ground in Ukraine is not ruled out. This is craziness, people. This is insanity. It really is. Where is the peace talks? Is that what Europe really wants? They want a repeat of World War II, but worse? You can imagine a loss of life if there was a conflict between NATO and Russia in Europe. And how about the loss of life here in the United States? They got these hypersonic missiles. They got underwater nuclear torpedoes. Yeah, one of them coming into New York Harbor would be nice. They're trying to kill us. That's what it comes down to. I say it every week. Whoever's running the earth right now, and I don't know who that is trying to kill off humanity. Pandemics, killing our food supply, weather factors around the world, drought, and now trying to goad us into conflict to kill each other off. Vaccines, we'll talk about that in a second. Doesn't it seem that, you know, you've heard the word depopulation. Is that what this is? I've always said, don't think I'm crazy for saying this, but it's possible. The aliens are finally ready to take over the Earth. They finally have enough hybrids, and now it's time to get rid of us and reclaim the planet for themselves. Nothing would surprise me. I'm a big UFO guy, an alien guy. I've done so much reading and research on this stuff. It wouldn't surprise me, trust me. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but we're certainly living in very interesting times. And we'll see how this thing all ends. But, you know, bringing Ukraine into NATO, that's the most insane thing I could ever imagine. Because then all of Europe and the United States is now at war with Russia. That's insane. And it's something that the United States would never do. The United States always tried to avoid conflict like this through diplomacy and economic diplomacy as well. Until we were pushed, like a Pearl Harbor type incident. We really don't like war. Although the last 20 or 30, 40 years, it seems like we do love war. And the military-industrial complex is getting rich because of the fact that whoever's in the current administration pushes everything they can to foment conflict so we could sell more weapons. But this is serious stuff, and I'm very nervous about it. It's the closest we've come to nuclear war. And Putin keeps talking about it, and people should listen to him. He's got the most nuclear weapons in the world. You don't poke that bear. That's stupid. And we're doing everything we can by annexing all the countries on Russia's border that used to be the Baltic states. Now Sweden and Finland are part of NATO. We're more of a militarization closer to his border. And then it looked like we were going to bring Ukraine into NATO. And, you know, that was it for Putin. Look, they got to defend themselves. They got to defend their borders. I'm not defending what Russia's doing there, but I'm telling you, you know, we're doing everything we can to put gasoline on the fire. And I don't think the world is ready for a nuclear conflict with Russia. Not to mention what's going to go down in the Middle East. We live in very dangerous times right now, my friends. And I don't know if it's going to change. I don't know if Trump wins, it'll make any difference. I think it will. But certainly, you want nuclear war, you want World War III, vote for Biden, because that's the path they're bringing us down. All right, so if you're listening to this podcast on Sunday, April 7th, tomorrow is April 8th, the day of the great American eclipse. And I don't think I've ever remembered in my lifetime, 64 years old, such intense interest in an eclipse. And I've never seen government take actions like I'm seeing now regarding this eclipse. We're seeing governors declare states of emergency. They're bringing in the National Guard. They're warning people to stock up on food. And they may lose their cell phone service. Why? I don't understand. Just because a shadow is passing over the country for 4 minutes each place? I don't get it. I don't get how all this mayhem is going to come about from this. Now, they're saying that a lot of people are going to the path of the total eclipse. They want to experience it. So people are driving, flying into Texas and Oklahoma and Indiana. And that's the reason why they're calling a state of emergency. I still don't get it. We'll see what happens. But they obviously, government really has an interest in this. And it's kind of peculiar. And I never trust government, of course. Why would you? After all they've done to us. Well, maybe it's a biblical event. Who knows? I mean, we're living in crazy times. Just on Friday, we had the largest earthquake in New Jersey in 146 years. Just 3 days before the eclipse. Who knows? Does it mean anything? I don't know. But if you look in the Bible, there's talk all the time about the heavens. In Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning of the Bible, God specifically tells us that one of the reasons why he created the sun and the moon is because they would be used as signs. I think this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So it's one of the first things you read in the Bible where he talks about the sun and the moon and the importance of it. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus specifically warned us that there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And this is going to appear during the years just prior to his return. So the Bible is telling us that things that happen in the sky happen for a reason and are important. And we should be watching for signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So maybe we should pay more attention to this eclipse. Another interesting coincidence is the eclipse is happening in the first day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar. Many things in the world happen, specifically in important dates in the Hebrew calendar. So it's tomorrow. We'll see what happens. My guess is nothing's going to happen. But many times an eclipse is foretelling an event in the future. So maybe it is a sign. I don't know. Everybody has interest in it. It looks like in New Jersey here it's going to be a clear, sunny day. And we're not going to get the total eclipse. I think it's 80%. And that's going to be, I think, around 3:30, 3:45. So that would be interesting to see. But you'll be able to watch. I mean, there's going to be videos like crazy from people all over the country. So you don't have to strain your eyes and take a look at the sun. That's the worst thing you could possibly do during an eclipse. But just seeing it get relatively dark, I guess 80% cover is going to make it pretty dark here. I'm looking forward to it. A little bit of foreboding, but not much. All right, another side of the break, we're going to talk about, are they planning the next pandemic? You know, it's just months away from the election. Talk about bird flu, jumping from chickens to mammals, and now a human apparently has it, and they say it'll be 100 times worse than COVID. I don't believe anything they say anymore, but, you know, it's time for fear-mongering. And we're going to talk about the vaccine. A Belgian virologist, very well respected, has come out and said that there's going to be a tsunami of death. That is the term he used very soon for people who took the jab. You know, I'm praying that that's not the case, but we'll talk further about that. So make sure you hang around.
AFM Investments' Lou Skatigna has been serving Ocean County for over 35 years. AFM Investments brings a level of expertise, knowledge, and experience to the Jersey Shore that you would typically have to pursue with a premier investment firm on Wall Street. Whether you need income tax preparation or financial planning, he has the experience to help you with whatever your needs are. For more information, log on to AFMinvestments.net.
Do you have a home to sell? Do you need to buy a home? Or maybe you would like to consider a career in real estate? Well, you need to contact my brother, Mark Skatigna. He's the broker manager of Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty on Route 70 in Manchester. Mark has helped so many of my clients with either the sale of their home or to purchase a new home. All of them could not have been happier with his help. What about an exciting new career in real estate? Maybe you're finding you have more time on your hands than you would like to after retiring from your full-time job and are also looking to make some extra income. With flexible hours to still enjoy your free time and income that could be limitless, Mark could train you to be as successful as you would like to be and enjoy a rewarding career in real estate. For help with any of your real estate needs, as well as any information on a career in real estate, call my brother Mark Skatigna at Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty. His number is 732-657-6200. That's 732-657-6200. Mark Skatigna, Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty. Give him a call. You'll be happy you did.
I upload a new podcast each and every Sunday, 7 a.m. If you want to get on our email list to be notified and give you the link, so you just click on the link, it brings you right to the podcast. When you're at Podomatic, where the show is hosted, just click on the follow button. Give your email, and you'll be notified immediately, virtually within seconds as I upload it, because I get the email. But we're up always at 7 a.m. Sunday morning. And thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate you. Many people have been listening to this show for many, many years on Sunday mornings. It's kind of a tradition for them, and it's a tradition for me as well. For 24 years, I was broadcasting this show Sunday mornings, and that was my life for a good part of my adult life. And I enjoyed each and every Sunday, and I thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the podcast, the link with friends and family. That's the way the podcast grows. And I'm thrilled each and every week we have more listeners, and that's because you're sharing it. You want to get in touch with me, Lou at thefinancialphysician.com. Love your input. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you guys if you have a problem with me having guests on once in a while. And the answer was overwhelmingly positive. You said yes. Having a guest on once in a while would be great. So we're going to start doing that. As long as I don't have to work too hard to get the guests, we'll have that. But I have another question for you. And I appreciate many of you as possible to respond to this. I do a two-hour podcast each and every Sunday. Should I shorten it? Is it too long? Is it too taxing on you to listen to the two-hour podcast? Should I make it an hour and a half? That's what I'm considering. I have no problem doing 2 hours, but is it too long? And you as the end user who listens to it each and every week, do you listen to the whole show or do you get tired of it and you only listen to part of it and then you didn't go back to listen to the rest of it? I want to tailor the show so it's usable. So if you think 2 hours is too long, let me know. If you think 2 hours is perfect, let me know. And I'd be interested to see what the polling results are. And I'll share it with you next week. Just send an email to lou@thefinancialphysician.com. Yes, 2 hours. Yes, 1.5 hours. Or something to that effect. All right, is the media and so-called experts grooming us, preparing us for the next pandemic? I mean, I never heard of it. Well, there has been very few pandemics in my lifetime. I'm 64 years old. And now you're telling me that pandemics are going to be the norm? Just years apart, we're going to have a new pandemic? So experts have cautioned that a bird flu pandemic may be looming on the horizon, one that could be catastrophic on a scale 100 times worse than COVID-19. The alarm was raised following reports of the virus being found in multiple species, including cows, cats, and humans, which could potentially accelerate the virus's mutation to become more transmissible among humans. Yeah, I wonder who's doing that gain-of-function research in some lab somewhere in China. So basically in March, in Texas and Kansas, they saw cattle were lethargic, so they tested them and found out that they had bird flu. So the bird flu has crossed species. Now, the bird flu has killed 100 million chickens around the world. It's very, very transmittable and contagious, certainly among chickens. So they have to cull a whole herd. I'll tell you about that happened this week. So on Monday, the Texas Department of State Health Services issued a health alert after confirming the first human case of the novel avian influenza A, H5N1, in the state. The patient became ill following contact with dairy cows presumed to be infected with avian influenza. The patient's primary symptom was conjunctivitis. This is the second case of avian influenza A identified in a person in the United States and is believed to be associated with the recent detections of avian influenza in dairy cows. During a recent briefing, scientists highlighted the increasing risk of the H5N1 bird flu strain turning into a pandemic. The meeting, attended by leading bird flu researchers, medical professionals, and government officials, was convened in response to the human bird flu case and organized by John Fulton, a vaccine consultant and pharmaceutical industry expert. Boy, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Another vaccine consultant. Probably worked at the CDC for a while, then worked at Pfizer for a while on the board of directors. You know how that goes. This appears to be 100 times worse than COVID, or it could be if it mutates and maintains its high case fatality rate. Once it's mutated to infect humans, we can only hope that the fatality rate drops. I've read that the fatality rate's like 50% if you get this. So what was COVID? Just like a kind of a dry run to see how much control they could have over the population? This will be so bad that everybody will take the shot this time? He goes on to say, and now we're getting dangerously close to the virus potentially causing a pandemic. H5N1 viruses have already demonstrated several important features of a potential pandemic virus. So these are, the virus is already globally distributed, and this virus particularly, that it's often perceived as an avian virus, it can and it has shown the ability to infect a range of mammalian hosts, including humans. We're not talking about a virus as yet to make the jump. We're talking about a virus that is globally present, already infecting a range of mammals, and is circulating. So therefore, in my view, I think this is a virus that has the greatest pandemic threat that is playing out in plain sight and is globally present. It's really high time that we are prepared. Yeah, I'm sure they're prepared. With a new vaccine specifically made for the H5N1 virus. just ready to go. They have millions, hundreds of millions already manufactured. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but the COVID virus vaccine came pretty quick, didn't it? According to the World Health Organization, the H5N1 fatality rate stands at an alarming 52%. A stark contrast to the less than 0.1% mortality rate of COVID-19. So COVID-19 was nothing. Oh, they made it out to be the worst thing that ever happened. Lock you down. Lock down schools. Force feed vaccines to everybody. But that's nothing compared to this. God forbid this gets out with this fatality rate. You want to talk about overwhelming hospitals and stuff like that? Oh, my God. The concern is that if H5N1 becomes easily transmitted among humans while maintaining its high fatality rate, the consequences would be dire. Pretty scary stuff, right? Major bird flu outbreak shuts down U.S.'s largest fresh egg producer. About 1.6 million chickens culled at Texas facility. They're killing off all our food supply, don't you see? This stuff is not by accident. This stuff is all planned. Calmaine Foods, recognized as the country's largest producer of fresh eggs, announced on Tuesday that it's temporarily suspended operations at one of its major facilities located in Palmer County, Texas. This drastic measure comes in the wake of a detected outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza. The outbreak has led to the culling of approximately 1.6 million laying hens and 337,000 pullets. I don't know what a pullet is, but whatever. This action represents about 3.6% of Calmaine Foods' total flock as of early March 2024, marking a significant loss for the company and the egg industry as a whole. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen to egg prices now. They're already sky high. They're going to be going a lot higher, right? The country's largest egg producer. Unbelievable. Was it planted there? Something very sinister is happening. I know, Lou, you're always conspiracy theory, Lou. Always thinking of worse. Always thinking somebody's out to get you. Well, I don't think you're paranoid if you're someone who's really trying to get you. I don't know. It's not funny, though. It's really not funny. All right, let's switch from the new bird flu fear that we have and and go back to COVID and the vaccine. Now, listen to this headline. Top international virologist issues dire warning. Massive, massive tsunami of death among highly vaccinated is imminent. Now, let's pray this guy is wrong. But he's a world-leading virologist, has issued a shocking warning to the American public that a, quote, massive tsunami, unquote, of death will soon destroy the global COVID-19 vaccinated population. So this guy, Dr. Geert Vanden Bossche, a respected Belgian virologist, was on James Cuntler podcast last week. And he's certified in both virology and microbiology and is the inventor of a patent application for universal vaccines. He's also authored over 30 publications and currently works as an independent research consultant. So the guy's been around a block. He's an older guy. He knows what he's talking about. And he's famous for warning about, you know, the potential dangers of mass vaccination with experimental vaccines for COVID-19. He warned that the programs could lead to monster COVID variants. So he goes on to tell this interviewer that a massive tsunami of death among the vaccinated would happen. This would start with far more cases of long COVID, which would replace the surge of cancers and end with a hyperacute wave. What I'm predicting is a massive, massive tsunami of illness and death among highly vaccinated populations with compromised immune systems. You will see what will happen. For example, in the next coming week, there's more and more cases and more serious long COVID. So I'm not going to play a lot of the interview, but it's pretty scary stuff. And what he's saying is that people who have been vaccinated, especially multiple times, have compromised their immune system. And when the next wave of COVID comes, their immune systems will be so compromised that they'll get COVID. It'll be long COVID. It'll be chronic. And then it'll become hyperacute, where people are dropping dead, making the original outbreak look like nothing. So let's play a little bit of his interview on the James Cuntler podcast. This is Dr. Geert van der Bashy.
The hyperacute COVID crisis that is imminent is that we will have, and that is the positive news, we will have to build a completely new world, right? So there won't be the FDA anymore or all these folks, you know, they, I don't know where they will be going, you know. What will happen to them, it's very uncertain. But it's very, very clear that when this starts, our hospitals will collapse. And when the hospitals collapse, that means that the chaos, yeah, in all kinds of layers of society, financial, economic, social, you name it, you know, the chaos will be complete, right?
So that's a pretty dire prediction that society will collapse when this happens. Again, let's pray that this guy is wrong. And he goes on to say, if you've been vaccinated, you can't get reinfected. He said, that's the most important thing. If you hear there's infections starting to spread around, to take ivermectin. And you know, the FDA a few weeks back said, oh, ivermectin's fine now. It really did work, and it's okay to use. And you should use it if you've been vaccinated, and especially if you've been vaccinated multiple times, and you don't want to get COVID again. Scary stuff. Scary stuff. But they're trying to kill us. Here's another example of it. Did you hear this week? In a groundbreaking study spearheaded by the consumer advocacy group Mamavation, alarming levels of PFAS, some chemical, commonly referred to as forever chemicals, have been discovered in widely used bandage brands, including Band-Aid. PFAS, known for its persistence in the environment and in human bodies, have been linked to a slew of health issues, including cancer, immune system disruption, and reproductive problems. So basically, there's chemicals now on Band-Aids. And they say it's particularly problematic because the Band-Aid goes on an open wound with access to the blood supply. And they have all kinds of stuff in it. Unbelievable. You think you're doing something right for yourself by putting a bandage on, and you may be giving yourself cancer. The health effects linked to PFAS exposure are substantial, which include reduction in immunity. Now, that's just what we need when we have another pandemic coming, right? Reduced vaccination response, increased risk of allergies and asthma in young children, affected growth, learning, and behavior of infants and older children, increased cholesterol levels, cardiovascular disease, lowering a woman's chance of getting pregnant, lowered male fertility, risk of kidney and testicular cancers, and the list goes on. And this is what's in Band-Aids. God. It's a tough world out there. You got to watch everything you do these days. What else do we have for you? Let's end it. We're going to end it early today. It's one more week in tax season. I'm exhausted. I have work to do. So we're going to go, you know, maybe 140, 145. And as I mentioned to you earlier, do you want a shorter show? Maybe an hour and a half instead of 2 hours. Up to you. Let me know. Lou at thefinancialphysician.com. Now, I mentioned earlier, I meant to put this in earlier in the program. You remember when I was telling you that, you know, a Wall Street Journal poll came out and shows Trump up big in the 6 of the 7 battleground states. And Jill Biden, who has got to be one of the worst human beings on the planet for what she's doing to her husband. I blame her totally for him running in the first place 4 years back, 3 years back. And for her trying to run him again as decrepit and senile as he is. I blame her. What's in it for her? I want to know. Anyway, she was on some talk show and she was being asked about this poll. And like all the other Democrats out there, she's in denial.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
I think the American people know Joe Biden and Donald Trump pretty well by now. And I think they know that one has serious mental health and physical health issues when one is still pretty vibrant. And they certainly know the difference in the politics of each of them. So she's delusional like the rest of them. The only way Joe Biden can possibly win is through massive voter fraud, which they very well may pull off. And maybe that's what she knows. I don't know. But the fact that she thinks that Joe's doing fine in these swing states, well, he's way behind where he was in 2020, and he's not going to win as many as he did last time. So, if any, so we'll see. All right, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing the podcast with friends and family. If you listen to us Sunday, tomorrow's the big day, the eclipse. So we'll be talking about that next week. Like I said, I don't expect anything crazy to happen, but who knows? We just had an earthquake on Friday. We live in crazy times. If you want to get in touch with me for a no-obligation financial review, give my office a call, 732-905-8100, 732-905-8100. You want to just communicate with me, send me an email at lou@thefinancialphysician.com, lou@thefinancialphysician.com. Have a wonderful week. And until next time, never forget, I'm not far right. I'm just right so far. Have a great day.